I am more magic than I think. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. I am more magic than I think. We watched the show Bewitched last night, and we watched Genie, and we watched all of these wonderful shows where they have a lot of magic in them, and it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to watch these shows. It's kind of fun to see these machinations that they make happen with their dream catcher type of thing, and with the DreamWorks that Spielberg puts on and brings out with the Pixie and so forth. It's fascinating, but where do they get the ideas? Where do they get the ideas for all of these wonderful, crazy, mixed-up activities that they present to us on screen? Where do they get the ideas? And just think, here we have these men and women working in the studio, as Walt Disney had done it. He had them all. Each one was drawn by hand. Each one of the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the cartoons and so forth, each person and each scene was drawn by hand separately, fresh, new. The backgrounds, they may have slid back and forth a little bit, but the people, the Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and so forth, they all had to be done by individual drawings. Now, what kind of people do that sort of thing? What kind of people make drawings and do DreamWorks type of things? They do these wonderful motion pictures and cartoon character things. What kind of people do that? What kind of people do that when they have these drawings in the background with the swirling clouds? Like, have you seen Fantasia? Fantasia is a beautiful movie by Disney, which is a movie with music, and the music has a swirling colors zipping through it, the movement of it. And I think that's one where Mickey Mouse is a sorcerer's apprentice in it, too, if I'm not mistaken. But it could be another one. But all of this magic that they make happen, what do? The people who are creating this magic must believe that in what they're doing. They must believe in what they're creating. And then they have an impossible task. They believe it. But they've got to make you, the audience, believe it when you see it. When you see it, you must forget it's a cartoon. You must forget it's drawings on a board. You must forget these are unreal characters, and believe that they are real characters. Now, how do you believe that they are real characters? You believe they're real characters because whoever created them, whoever gave them life and breath and direction, whoever did this, they're the ones that are... They must make people believe what they are drawing is real, because if people don't believe it, they'll just look at it and say, yuck, what a false picture, what a false illusion, what a false expression, you see? And that's not what Walt Disney wanted to do. Walt Disney wanted you to believe in Popeye. He wanted you to believe in Mickey Mouse. He wanted you to believe in all these cartoons, and you did. And as silly and as primitive and as unrealistic as they were in their early days, really, people believe them. And little children watch those cartoons and believe that they were true. And mommies and daddies watch them and believe that they were true. Sometimes it was beyond the scope of the parents' believability to believe it, but they believed it, and the children loved it. Now, what is it that makes anything believable that we are creating? What is it that makes anything believable, but gives anything the idea that it is real. What is it that does that? The person who is making the believable thing believes in it. Now, when I tell you stories of my adventures and my excursions and my remembrances and my activities, I tell it in all my magic and all the words that I use to describe it, making it all seem very realistic and all seem very exciting. And it is, and it was, and it is while I'm telling it to you, and I'm experiencing it once again. The details may change while I'm experiencing it, but that doesn't matter, because the story is for who?
For you.
I'm telling it to you, but it's me. And I'm living it, and I'm believing it, and I'm enjoying it, and you are riding along just for the fun of it. And if you let go of your credulity, if you let go of your credulousness that you must believe it, if you let go of that, and just flow with the story, just as though you are there yourself, then it is for you, and it is real. It is very real. This goes for anything. Now, we say, how can we make affirmations and have them be true when they are not true? When they are not true. And I have explained to all of you any number of times that just because something has been proven to be true does not mean that it's true. And just because something has been proven to be false does not mean that it's false. Now, is there a tree in your front yard? And you say, there is no tree in my front yard. See, there's no tree in my front yard. And then you go in and have breakfast. Meanwhile, the Gardner Trucking Company comes by and plants 6 or 8 beautiful big pine trees in your front yard, glorious just beyond imagination, and a few other deciduous trees there. And you are sitting at the breakfast table, your family talking, and then one of the kids runs to the front window and looks out there and he says, "Hey, Dad, come here a minute." And Dad says, "I'm having my coffee." "But Dad, this is important." You know, "What do you want?" "Well, the front yard is full of trees." "Oh, come on, son. You know, what did you have in your cereal this morning?" "What makes you think such a thing like that? That is wrong. That's impossible. Son, don't lie to me." "But Dad, come and you'll see it's not a lie." And so the dad slowly gets up, and the trucking company comes back and pulls all the trees off because they made a mistake, put it in the wrong place. And they take them away, and they go to the window, and the trees are not there. "Son, you lied to me." "But Dad, I didn't. They were there." Now, you say to me, "Well, Herb, as you explain this, it's very logical. As you explain this, this is a possibility. It could have, it wouldn't." I mean, I can't think of it happening, but it could happen. It could happen. I mean, he gets up very slowly from the table. And truckers work very fast. Yank it out, you know, and put it back in their truck and smooth out the front lawn. It doesn't look like a front lawn, I'm sure, unless they put sod on it. But the thing, then you go there, "Son, you lied to me." "But Dad, I didn't." Now, did the boy lie? No. But did Dad think he lied? Yes. And what happened? The dad thinks he lied. And the dad's going to think that the boy had lied all his life because that is impossible. "Son, you just are pipe dreaming this. This is not real. This is not real." And you see, how do we know? How do we know? In Samantha, in various other issues of it, they have looking out their back window, and
Mrs. Kravitz.
Huh?
Mrs. Kravitz.
No, the mother, her mother, Samantha's mother.
Andorra.
Andorra. So Andorra she says, I am going to have a house right next to yours. And so, in a vacant lot, there's her house, right next to theirs. And so, Darren looks out, he says, no, you can't do that. That's against the law. You got to have a permit to buy this, to build this property, and you got to do this, you got to do that. And Dora says, no. And so, and Dora, meanwhile, the city comes by, and everybody comes by, and checking it out, and all these things. And then, and Dora says, oh, I'm really not interested in having a house next year. I'm going off to Paris. And so, and flick, the house is gone, the lot is vacant, and the police are just ready to step into the house over there that is there to check it out, you know, because it shouldn't be there, and it's not there. And so the policemen say to each other, I didn't see anything, did you? No, I didn't see anything. I'm not going to report it. But now, you think of that, and you think, that's silly, that's impossible. Why? Why? You see, it's impossible because you are like the policeman. I won't say anything if you don't say anything. It didn't happen. And like the pilots who are flying and seeing flying saucers, you know, if they report it, they got to make a big, long report. And then they got to prove their sanity while they're making the report, because nobody believes that there are flying saucers up there, you know? And it's all a game. Mm-hmm. It's all a game. Now, this is real stuff. This is very real stuff. Now, are you able to be like the little boy who saw the trees and the father who didn't, you know? Are you able to put a cause in motion for anything in your life that you'd like to have? Like I said to Ingeborg last night after we watched Bewitched, I said, Ingeborg, how would you like to go and visit your friends in Germany, you know? And how would you like to go visit your friends in Japan? How would you like to go and be here on campus, be three places at once? And she says, yeah, well, that'd be okay. Yeah, that'd be nice. And then she said, and there's a few other places I'd like to be too. You know? So, you see, she played the game. She entered into the game. She entered into the game of this imagination. And that's where it all comes from, and that's where it all ends. How do you think the Big Bang Theory came into being? How do you think the theory of relativity came into being? How do you think that the Bible came into being? The story of the beginning. Now, was you there, Charlie? You know? Were you present at the story of the beginning? Yes. Do you remember it? Well, not really, but sort of. But if I think about it hard enough, I can come up with some fanciful ideas for it. Well, is the Bible story fanciful? Oh my, yes. Is the Bible story filled with imagination? And could it have happened?
Mm-hmm.
Could it not have happened?
Mm-hmm.
Either way. But I like to think that it could have happened. Now, why could all that nonsense happen? Well, look at the nonsense you're doing. You're saying, my fingernails are not perfect. Well, you're a perfect body, creating perfect fingernails and a perfect body. Your fingernails gotta be perfect. So start looking at your fingernails and seeing them perfect, and they'll be perfect. But if you start seeing them not perfect, then you're creating a new not perfect. Now, why would you do such a silly thing like that? You know? Why would you create your body getting old? Why would you create your body being young? Why would you create anything in the world? You know? You're creating everything. Now, why don't we just sit down and go to a special school. It's called the school of living in a perfect world, being perfect and living in a perfect world. Wouldn't that be a great school? Being perfect and living in a perfect world. If you are perfect, then what sort of attitudes do you have? And if you're living in a perfect world, is there anything to change? There is only to be admired. In a perfect world, it's only to admire it, to delight in the perfect world. What does our friend Joya say from Switzerland? She says, Herb, I've been listening to your tapes, I've been listening to your archives, I've been reading your materials that you're sending out, you know, and you don't even know that I'm reading it and listening to it. Oh, yes, I do. But the thing is, you don't even know this. And she says, I am enjoying it. And what is she doing? She's been here to campus a couple of times, but what is she doing? Every time she listens to my talks around the table like this, she is here with us. Because she can do that. She has that visualization. Now, Anita's mother, when she listens to my talks, she's never been here. So she imagines my table just like her table. She imagines my table with her chairs around it, you know. She imagines my table with all the setting on it that she has, you know, because that's her life, that's her world, and that's not bad. And so she's listening to me giving a talk at my table while she is visualizing my table, and her table is what she's sitting around. You see, this is what we do. Now, can you expand your thinking? Can you expand your table? Can you be the Monsanto table in Disneyland? And the Monsanto table is the Monsanto house made, it's one of the earlier chemistry houses. It was round, and in the shower it was all round, and you sat behind a little wall-like thing, and there was bars hanging in the shower which were heated, and your towels were hanging over them, so your towels were always nice and cozy warm, and the shower was self-cleaning. The minute you got out of it, it went like that, and it cleaned off all the calcium, all the minerals, all the deposits, you know. And the same in the kitchen. And the seats were made so that it was just absolute comfort. You sat on, and the seats just sort of molded to your body. And you looked out the window, and it was as though there was no window. You know, the window was there, but it was so clear, so perfect, that out of such absolute ideal material. Fantastic. And I often dream of the Monsanto house. It was a glorious house. May still be there, but it was really great. And that was 50 years ago when I first saw it, or maybe even more. But it was great. Now, think about it. Think about it. Who created that?
You.
Back in the 50s, in the 50s, 40s, 50s, you know, way back then. Wow. That's a long time ago. That's over 50 years ago. Not 100, but you know, that's a long time ago. Long time ago. And what other things have they created? Now, what's the new creation that we have for a house? Like, we visualize out of Atlantis. Atlantis, not Atlanta. And the house out of Atlantis was a house that was invisible. You had to know what you were doing to get in it. And when you were in it, nobody could see into it. The house had just walls that you could see out of at any point, but nobody could see into it unless you wanted them to. If you wanted to, you could just click your finger and the house was visible to anybody and everything, you know, or invisible. And you could walk around your house as you wished. Nobody knew what room you were in or where you were going. And you could look out the window. Now, and the cars in the days of Atlantis, I'm sure they didn't have cars, but in the cars they had, they were cars that were levitation cars. They were cars that floated in air, Airbuses, you know. And people got in it and went places to be social, and to be together. They didn't need a bus. They could have just sat together on the grass and said, let's go to Disneyland, and zip, they were there, you know. Or let's go to Florida, Disney World, and zip, they were there. Or let's go to Zurich. Let's go to Campo. Let's go anywhere. Tip, you're there. Now, is that possible? It's done all the time. It's done all the time. Some people like to play chess while they're making the journey. And the chess is that they go down and they buy a ticket. And the ticket puts them on an airplane. And then they get on the airplane with their little computer sitting in their seat watching a movie. And then they arrive in Switzerland. And they get out of the plane. And when they get out of the plane, they have set their watch ahead when they got on the plane so that their timing is there's no jet lag jet lag is mental, and so there's no jet lag. And they talk to the people who greet them as they arrive there, and they say, "Let me take you on my flying carpet to my home." You know, and so you say, "Well, why didn't you come get me at Campo on your flying carpet? That'd been cool too." Well, no, you wanted to play the game. You wanted to play the game of the aeroplane, you know, or the train, or the bus, or whatever vehicle you wanted to use, you know. You wanted to play the game. And so, sure enough, I wanted to go up and visit Faith and Mark. And so, Ellen says, "You going to drive or what?" And I said, "I'll take the train." She said, "Well, we'll get your second class passage on the train, so you can plug your computer in and use it." Well, it was a stupid thing to do, because I really didn't use the plug hardly, because I was looking out the window enjoying the scene. It was so beautiful looking at where I was going for the first time, because when you're driving, you're paying attention to driving. And when you're able to look around, you know, you want to look and you want to soak it up and soak up all those beautiful things, you know. And I hardly used the computer at all, but it was nice. It was thoughtful. And they did have a free lunch that was served, and coffee and things like that. So those things of the second class was pleasant. But, you see, that's all a game we play. That's all a game we play. Now, I have given you a very tight, very terse statement of what I did on the train and when I went. Were you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Were you sitting in my seat, looking out the window?
Yes.
Were you seeing all the things that I was seeing and that I wasn't seeing because I was supposed to work on my computer? I didn't bother my computer. I looked out the window, and I drank my coffee and tea, and I ate my sandwich, and I looked out the window, and I said, "Isn't this nice? Isn't this cool?" You know? Now, are you with me?
Yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
But you see, this is what we do. Now, from this day forward, you know you're the creator of your world. You know you're the creator of everything that happens in your life. So, why not start creating it the way you think you'd like it to be? Now, number one, are there any limits?
No.
Do you know how to live in a world with no limits? We should have a school for that too. Do you know how to live in a world with no limits? Not really. You don't. Because you say you know how to live in a world without limits, so you must think of a world with limits to be living in a world without limits. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it sounds stupid. Why are you saying that? But that's because that's the way it goes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No. And the man in this story said to the girl, "Well, why don't you go play with your friends?" And she says, "Well, I don't have any friends." "You don't have any friends?" "No, I don't have any friends." "Why don't you have any friends, you know?" "Because I'm me, living in my own world, and I like myself, and I enjoy my own company. And I have not met," she didn't say all this, but that's what she meant, "I have not met another person on the face of the earth, other than my mom, you know, and my dad, but I haven't met a person on the face of the earth who comes up to near understanding me and how wonderful I am." You know, she couldn't say that, but that's what she meant. And she liked herself. She liked herself. You felt sorry for her that she didn't have friends, because that was your human nature looking at her, seeing her without friends. And of course, with the type of snooty people who were in her world, I wouldn't want them either. But she was just above it all. And she found what? She found Checkers, the horse. Her bike went over the hill, and she wasn't paying attention. And so she fell down, messed up her bike, and who came to talk to her? Checkers! Checkers! Who had been chasing her behind the trees in the forest? Checkers! We all thought it was going to be some ugly scene, something bad and evil. But that's your consciousness. And she thought it too. She thought there was something out there that she didn't understand. And so she ran. But it was Checkers, the horse that was going to change your life. Not change her life, but let her live her life more fully and beautifully. True?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just remember, if you think that you understand the allness, you don't. Because the moment you say there is an allness, you don't understand it. The moment you say there is love, you don't understand it. The moment you say there is peace, you don't understand it. But the moment you are yourself and you have fun and you do whatever delights you, then you are peace, you are love, and you are unlimited. It's wonderful, isn't it? Join me in my world of imagery, imagination, in my world of illusion. It's your world too. You're living in it, but you're not taking credit for it. But join me in that and realize how much fun it really is. I love you. I love you, 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 I love you.